So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. Father, we have several that are sick. We have several that are not able to be here today. Some are out of town. Whatever the case is, but we're here right now to be with you. And Father, I know and we know that the only way that we can gain spiritual insight, spiritual truth into our hearts is because you, dear Holy Spirit, reveals those spiritual truths to us. I can't reveal that spiritual truth in a way that is received in the heart of people. It's you, dear Holy Spirit, working on each individual heart and presenting to them, revealing to them the things you want them to know. It's only by your Spirit that those things can be revealed. So having said that, Lord, I pray that each one of us here today and each one that listens to this message online, in either way, however they listen to it or watch it, that each of our hearts would be open to you, that we would have spiritual ears to listen, spiritual eyes to focus, spiritual heart to receive, that we're attentive to what you are saying through your word. And then I pray, Father, please, that you will literally meet with each one of us here, that we will sense and recognize you, dear Holy Spirit, talking to us, touching our heart, stirring us, doing whatever you want to do to reveal truth and your involvement in our lives. And so I lay that before you, and I pray and ask that you honor that, that you would be glorified, that we would walk away from here today saying, I not only was in church, but I can sense the presence of you, and I was touched by you, and our hearts are lifted by you. And I just pray your honor that, Father. It's only through you that this can be done. In Jesus' name, amen. We're branching out, and that was the idea of the illustration with the kids, that we branch out to share the gospel of Christ. We've talked about that, and we need to remember to go about and tell others about Jesus. So, last week, we had a great time celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus, didn't we? It was great in here. It was wonderful. The Spirit was great. Just the worship and all that. And when we all come together, we had visitors and guests and new people and so forth and whatnot. And it was Easter Sunday, celebrating the resurrection of Christ. And we came together more. But we need to encourage each other, pray for each other, to be here to worship the Lord together and to encourage each other. So we did have that great time of celebration last week as we celebrated Christ's resurrection. And we praised him for the new and eternal life that he's given us through what? Through Jesus' great sacrifice for us on the cross. And of course, if he hadn't resurrected, it would mean nothing. We talked about that too. You have to have both, the death and the resurrection. No resurrection, there's no victory over death. There's no new life. And so we talked about that, having a new life in Christ. Remember what I was saying last week about that in a sense that we were, well, Scripture tells us we were spiritually dead, and then when we received Christ, we're made spiritually alive. And that, in a sense, is a picture also of us experiencing the resurrection power of God to new life. And that's exactly what we go through when we receive Christ and we follow through with baptism. And we're making it known. I have a new life now, a new life in Christ Jesus. And as believers in Christ, we've received that great gift. And there are innumerable blessings that we have in our relationship with God. Can we say amen to that? I mean, what I mean by that is that you and I can relate to how God has intervened in our life. We can look at the blessing of having a fellowship with him, sensing the Holy Spirit speaking to us through his word, spending time with God in prayer where we know that we're really just he and I or you and him alone with God in prayer, and that communion with him, that sense of the presence of the Spirit of God just being around you and with you and speaking to you. Those are rich blessings. But we also know, like the song that we sang about that mountain that stands in front of us, how many mountains are there in our lives or that we've experienced in our lives that are so big we don't know how to get around it? And I love, again, you've heard me say before, how Zerubbabel said that he'll make that mountain a plain. I love that. We always need to remember that no matter how huge the obstacle is in our life, God can take care of it. Even if we don't understand it, even if we can't figure it out, and even more so specifically, when we don't understand, when we can't figure it out, when we can't take care of it ourselves, but we take it to God and we rely on Him. It may take a little time sometimes. Sometimes it's pretty quick. Sometimes it's not. But so long as by faith we're relying on God and trusting in Him and watching and see Him work out things His way. They may not work out the way we expect, but we know that God can take care of the mountain. And He'll give us that peace and that victory in Him. And so these are some of the experiences that you and I experience as we follow Jesus. We may even go further to experience the power of God working in our life as we step out in faith and follow Him, as He calls us to use gifts, because God gives us spiritual gifts. Each one of us has at least one gift, if not more, but we receive at least one gift when we receive Christ as our Savior. And as we follow Christ, God begins to unveil to us that gift or those gifts that He has. And of course, He also said that once we're faithful with a little, He'll give us more. So He'll give us more gifts and more gifts, abilities, talents, and we recognize them as being from God because they're different from our natural character. We know this is not something that we're naturally good at, but God is doing His work through us. That's another experience. I say all of this about the blessings of our relationship, the obstacles, or the gifts, or the talents. All this reflects what? Our relationship with God. And those relationships, the world cannot know, people cannot know that without knowing God and following Him. We have to follow Him to experience those things, right? And to grow in knowledge and in that relationship with the Lord. So we have innumerable blessings from our Lord, and we're called to share that. So what do we, you know, we've received Christ, we've said, I'm going to live for the Lord, and we're going to follow the Lord, and we experience these things. And so the question is, what do we do with this new life He's given us? Well, you already know that the point that has been made is that we are to disperse that knowledge of our relationships that we have with God, our relationship we have with God, to others. You know, some people think that when we share Christ with others that it's, you know, if I say to you, okay, share the gospel of Christ, we're called to carry the gospel, we're called to share the good news, and that we are, it's the Great Commission. But sometimes we think about that as being, oh, I gotta tackle someone down or pin them in a corner and ask them those hard questions. There are rarities where maybe that is because of the person, they do need to be talked to straightforwardly, point blank. But that's not the only way that we share the gospel. We share the gospel by how we live for Christ. But then we say, well, that's an easy kind of a hidden way, isn't it? Because what I'm saying by that is, I'm a Christian, I'm following the Lord, but if people do not see us actively living out our faith, relying on God, trusting God, rejoicing in our relationship with God, and discovering and using the gifts that He's given us, it's those things that we can share with other people that they would begin to see that, hey, we've got a real relationship with Jesus. So my point is that we don't have to say, I've got to make this specific appointment unless God's telling you to. But we're to be bold and free about our faith. We just live our faith. Don't be afraid to mention I'm a Christian. Don't be afraid to say, God did this for me. God answered that prayer for me. Or I'm going to pray about that. Or God's going to take care of that. Or I remember when God did this or that. Live out your life in a way that is not confining the reality of your testimony of your relationship with God. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because that's diffusing. I was thinking when I was coming over to church today, I thought, how can we relate to that diffusing a little bit more? It's like getting a good rub on a tri-tip. You got dry rub on there, got it on there, right? And you put it on there, but if you put it on there, take it and wash it off, it's not going to do any good. If you leave it on there, but you don't leave it long enough, then it doesn't disperse those spices into the meat. Likewise, as salt, which we are to be able to allow the salt, which God's called us, we're the light and the salt of the earth, that as we live out our faith, that we are not just proclaiming our faith, being separated by God. But as salt, we allow our salt to settle in into our own personal environment, our workplace, our home, wherever, to where our faith begins to dissipate. Is that the right word? Or disperse is a better word. Into the crevices and the uniqueness of our life and the circumstances around us and other people's lives. Does that make sense? Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Because so you see the content? It's not just saying, because when I stand up here and I tell you, look, you know, we need to share the gospel. We all know that. But then we say, but we often back up because we're thinking, well, I'm too shy. I'm too timid. I don't know how to be clear about sharing the gospel. And so we step back. I know it. Then we're frustrated because we don't do it. So the point is that as we live it, we're not afraid to express or reveal what our real walk with Jesus is like in action and in vocal communication. Well, I'm going to take that to the Lord. Or I'm going to let God, oh, guess what happened? I prayed about that last week and God took care of it. Don't be afraid to share your witness, your testimony about your relationship with Christ with others. And yeah, you're going to get some feedback that's negative sometimes. You may not get any feedback, but you might get, as good fishermen, someone who says, you know what? I think it's amazing how God works in your life and I want to know more about that. So that's dispersing our relationship publicly with others without a constraint, but with genuineness of heart, authenticity of our heart, tired, and just letting people see the reality of Jesus in our life. Because many people can say they're Christians and not live a Christian life, and they're basically being hypocritical. You may be truly a Christian, but if you're not living it, you're a hypocrite. Because we're living opposite of what God wants us to. But if we're living for God, then people are going to see our relationship with God, and it's going to touch other people's lives. Bless you. And so what do we do with this new life that he has given us? One, what did Jesus tell his disciples before leaving the earth? Remember at the ascension, what did he tell his disciples? In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, which is the Great Commission, represented by this stained glass. Okay? Take the word of Christ into the world, the gospel, right? Everlasting life. So, in Matthew 28:18-20, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe.'" That word observe is very significant. What's that word mean? Put to practice. It's not observing, oh, I read that one. No, it's putting to practice, teaching them to observe or put to practice all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we, in practicing what we learn, because we don't want to all be spiritual big heads, do we? I mean, you don't want our heads to get so big that they're bigger than our body and we fall over ourselves. Because that's what happens when pride kicks in because of knowledge. But if knowledge that's not applied is useless. It's not wisdom, it's foolishness. But when we take the knowledge that we have and apply it to our life and live it out, that's wisdom. And God wants us to live that wisdom. And to be those disciples that are reaching out to people to help people to see there is a better life than what you think you have that's so great. And you say, well, we have the testimony of many Christians that have suffered greatly for Christ. But the relationship of the grace of God that fills their heart and lives to endure the hardship they're going through is a testimony of God's love and intervention in their lives. And you and I experience that. When we yield over ourselves to the Lord, no matter what we're going through, we see God stepping in with his grace, and he's giving us what we need to get through that circumstance. And we can praise God for it because we recognize, excuse me, the difference. So Jesus wants us to tell others about him, baptize them, and disciple them. And that great gift you and I have received. Many of us have received Christ as our Savior. Sorry. have received Christ as our Savior, and we've not kept it a secret. Closet Christians are not what God's called us to be.
Yes.
Closet Christians are chicken Christians. I mean, if I'm just talking normally, you're just being a chicken because you don't want the relapse of standing up for Jesus. So closet Christianity is not what God wants us to be. We're not to keep our faith a secret. If we are excited about the gift, we should want others to have that same joy and future as we have. Look, if we're experiencing the personal relationship with Jesus that God intends for us to have, if you're experiencing the power of God taking care of circumstances in our lives, if we're experiencing God working through our lives in ways that we never thought was possible, right? I'm dyslexic. I went to speech school. I couldn't speak well, terrified to stand in front of people. And God says, I got one for you. You're not going to be a chef. You're going to talk in front of people. You've heard that many times. But then God continues to open up and give gifts and abilities. And we see God giving that in our lives to where you're going, wow, I would never expect that my life would shape like this. And it would not shape like that if we were not willing to genuinely give ourselves wholeheartedly to Jesus. Can we agree with that? Yeah, we've got to. And that's a choice. We can be a closet Christian or we can be a Christian that's committed. But don't be in the middle because God says, I hate that. Make your mind. I love how God cuts it dry. You either be hot for me or cold for me. Make your mind up, but don't play the game in the middle. God wants us to be genuine, authentic, and unashamed of our faith. That's what God wants us to do. So I want us to go back to the Old Testament and take a look at the prophecy about Jesus and his purpose on earth. Isaiah 11:1, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, bear with me and I'll explain what that means, all right? Okay, so the Hebrew word for branch is netzer or neser. Okay, hang on. There's significance to that. Okay, now let's look at this word in the New Testament, Matthew 2:23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, I know you don't see the word branch in that verse in Matthew 2:23, but it's there. Why? An ending has been added to Netzer, and it became Netzareth, or Nazareth, which is the branch, the Hebrew word. The root word of Nazareth is the branch. The prophecy in Isaiah 11:1 is about Jesus, who is the branch. So he said, when was Jesus the branch? I've always heard of him as just the vine. Well, the reality is that when he lived his life 33 years on earth, but it wasn't until he was 30 that his ministry began. When his ministry began, he extended himself beyond Nazareth. He branched out into the known world. And so we see Jesus branching out and doing what work the Father has for him to do. And that's what you and I are called to do. Nazareth would mean the place of the branch or the place of branching forth. Going back to Isaiah 11:1, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Jesus, as a child, would grow up, come forth, grow out of his roots in Nazareth, and continue growing out from there. I came to know the Lord in Florida, well, in Ohio on vacation. Lived in Florida, Miami, Florida. God called me out to California when I was 21. And began to use me differently. And so the branching out, the beginning of ministry, because that's when I was called into ministry. Actually it was earlier than that, but that's how God expanded me beyond that. And so we are to be that branch that reaches out like Jesus did. We're to grow out from where we are and spread out to where God wants us to go. In other words, what's happening here is that Jesus' ministry began at the age of 30, and he branched out from Nazareth to share the news about God's kingdom. So if we stay in our little world, and we choose to stay in our little cocoon, or we choose to be closet Christians, those types of things, what are we not doing? We're not branching out. How do we branch out? We share the reality of a relationship that we have with Jesus through our personal life experiences. We let God use those experiences to impact others for him, which is also using us to bear his light and to be the salt. The light that reveals truth and the salt that preserves it. That's what God has called for us. Do you remember what Jesus taught his disciples in John 15, 1 through 5? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You've already received Christ. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. We see grape vineyards in our own valley. And so when they cut them back, you see the stalk and you see that knot and you see then that primary vine that grows along the fence. That's Jesus, but it's also a branch, is it not? Branches out from that stalk. So we see the parallel there, that the branch and the vine, right? But in this passage, the branch is being referred to as you and I. We are called to be a branch that grows out in Christ. But if the branch is cut off from the vine, what happens? It withers and dies. Now, the idea here is that you and I are to abide in Christ, which means we are to walk with Christ. We are to be close to Christ. We are to yield to Christ. We are to be serious about our relationship with God in Christ, right? And through him. And when we do that and we're abiding with him, we essentially become like an arm to him, you know? And so we can either choose to allow this to be used for him or become useless. And so as we abide with him, are connected strongly to the Lord, then we can see God work his marvelous work in our life that will actually shape our life to be far different than what we ever thought. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. When I first heard that and it was explained to me this way, it's saying, look, God has a plan for you, for each of us, that is far greater than what we can even dream up in our mind. No matter how grand of a dream we have for our own life, it doesn't compare to the plan that God has for us. And furthermore, that plan was preordained before the foundations of the world. And we don't experience that plan until our free will says, God, I'm yours. And when we say we're yours and we follow him and we cling to him and abide to him, we begin to branch out. We begin to be shaped into the people that God wants us to be. And it'll blow our minds. Never, ever thought we would be what God creates us, how he shapes our lives. We also are branches and we are expected to bear much fruit. We are expected to bear much fruit. If a vineyard owner plants a vineyard, he expects fruit. And Jesus is the vine, and he's planted the vineyard, and we're the branches, and he expects us to produce fruit. But if we're not abiding, adhering to him, being close to him, then we cannot bear fruit because the power of God is not working through us. We're not enabling the Holy Spirit to do his work in and through us because of our own free will, we've shut the door. Cause a Christian, for one example. But when we say, I'm wide open, Lord, whatever you want to do, no matter if it scares me or not, I'm yours because I know I can trust you. I know that you love me. I know that you're holy. I know that you're righteous. I know that you are God Almighty, and nothing bad comes from you. All good comes from you in my life. Because of your great love. So I don't have to be afraid of what you want to do with me. I run into so many Christians that are afraid to step out because they lose self-control. of their life. The thought, we're so taught to be in control of ourselves that we actually stunt our growth in Christ. But when we let go of the control and give control over to God, then God does his work and we go, wow, look what God is doing. That's how we experience God. That's how we experience Christ. It's a commitment to say we've been bought by the blood of Jesus. We're no longer our own. We belong to him, and whatever plan you have, I want, because that's what you created me for, and that's the very best, and that's where I'm going to be the most fulfilled in life. So as we experience these things and what God is doing in our life, we allow ourselves not to hide that from those that are around us. We allow our conversation to be incorporated with the events of God in our life. And other people will begin to see that God is real. And that our lives are enriched by him. And that God does use us. And it will be that you know, how many fishermen out at sea? We're the chum. We don't belong to ourselves anymore, for you have died and your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. We're the chum. And let God just throw us out and use us how he wants to. Because the effect will be we'll catch fish, we'll bear fruit, and we'll have lives that are enriched and fuller, because if we're not in the will of God for our life and discovering what he created us for, then no matter whatever we put into our life, it will never, ever satisfy us. Ever. Because it's not what we're made for. It's like taking two male prongs of an extension cord and trying to make it to connect. Just is not going to work. But when we're right, we're connected as we ought to be and used for God's glory. So we also are branches, and we are expected to bear much fruit. We are to bear spiritual fruit, like in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which cause us to bear or produce fruit by reaching out to others and sharing the good news. How do we share the good news? Sometimes it's point blank. You can go out to somebody, if you were to die today, do you know if you'd be in the presence of God in heaven? Right? I did that one time, and the guy looked up at me and he says, "You mean right now?" Because he was short. And me and the other guy that were together, we were bigger. We were not like bandits, but we were bigger. And we were standing next to him, and he goes, "You mean right now?" Because there was a canal and there was a road, a main road, on base. Looks at the road, looks at the canal. Right now, no. Yeah, I'm not going to kill you. But do you know if you did die, if you would go to heaven? And sometimes that's what it takes. By the way, that guy received Christ as a Savior. That soldier. Praise God for that. So sometimes it does require us being bold and direct. Other times it's just people seeing the diffusion of our life being revealed, that life that we have in Christ. Right? And so this will only happen when we intentionally focus on Jesus. We must abide in Jesus, the main branch of the vine, to bear much fruit. It's a choice. So many say, "Hey, I'm glad I've got Christ in my life because I know that then when I die, I'm going to heaven." When does eternal life begin? At the point that you receive Christ. Eternal life is Christ in us. But God expects us to live that new life now, that resurrected life now, in him, by abiding in him. But here's the thing. Satan doesn't like the idea. Satan has two plans, plan A and plan B. Plan A, he doesn't want us to get to know Jesus. He doesn't want us saved in the first place. So he'll do everything he can to keep us from receiving Christ. So if that plan doesn't work, he kicks in plan B. What's plan B? I'm going to make it so they don't follow Christ, don't adhere to him, don't abide in him, cling to everything else but him, and don't produce the fruit that God wants to produce in and through them. I'm going to keep them stayed back from the purpose that God has in their life the best that I can. That's plan B. That's plan closet Christian. I don't know who said that, but yeah. Oh, why didn't I realize that? Okay, so the closet Christian. So Satan's plan A for us is spiritual death, and Satan's plan B is spiritual barrenness. Look, if I can't keep you from receiving Christ, I'm going to keep you the best I can from producing fruit that brings glory to Christ. And so that's plan B. And we have to kind of ask ourselves, where are we? We want to be in God's plan, abiding in Him. If Satan can't succeed in his plan A, taking your soul to hell with him, then plan B is to ensure that you don't take anyone else with you to heaven. In Matthew 13, 18 through 23, Jesus taught on Satan's plans in this passage. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So you hear the gospel, you're not interested, and it's taken away. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. We've seen many people receive Christ and be joyous about it, but when life gets tough, they walk away from their faith in Christ. They don't rely on him. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. That's the one that can only endure for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. I think that's probably the most prominent state of believers in the universal church of believers today. They are so distracted by the things of the world and what they want, what makes them have an identity that I have made it, as opposed to their identity with Christ and living out Christ's plan for their life. They get so concerned about everything else in the world, but you know what? You and I know you can't take the world with you when you go. But all the things that we live in Christ will be honored by Christ when we get to heaven. And that's everlasting honor. Okay? But he who receives seed on the good ground, that's the heart who is open, the good ground is he who hears the word. Remember I was praying at the beginning of the message? Hear the word with spiritual ears and understands it. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If your heart is open to receive what God has you receive, then the Spirit of God teaches you and reveals to you what he wants you to know. The first would be if you're not saved, he's going, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. We're going to have close fellowship. So we can sense the Holy Spirit knocking on our heart to say, I want to come into your life. Will you receive me as your Savior? That's a reality, right? So I want to focus on what distinguished the third barren seed from the fourth fruitful seed. The fourth seed is described as a soul that beyond hearing the word chose to accept the word, retain the word, preserve the word, and produce a crop through the word. I have heard you, Lord. How do we hear God? God speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his church. He speaks to us through his spirit. He speaks to us through brothers and sisters in Christ. So long as it's all under the authority and the structure of God's word, it's solid. God will confirm through people, through circumstances, through his word, by his spirit, what he's telling us to do. And when we receive that from God, with a confirmation that God's telling us to do that, and certainly he wants to come in our heart, then we have a heart that is fertile, that will receive all the seed that God wants to put in there to produce a crop that he wants to produce that's unique to your life and my life. God will shape us into unique. We're a peculiar people. That means individually we are uniquely one of a kind. And he uses us as he plans to use us as we yield to him. When we refuse to hear or heed the word or abide in the vine, we will not multiply or produce fruit. You know what's scary about that? One day we have to stand before him, and he's going to say, what did you do with my son Jesus? I can say that's not a scare tactic, but it scares the daylights out of me. You know, I'm not trying to manipulate anything here. That's just the reality, right? So when we refuse to hear or heed the word or abide in the vine, we will not multiply or produce fruit. If we just merely live as a Christian in name and are not producing fruit, then we are spending our days fulfilling what? Satan's plan B. We are not branching out as Jesus did, right? When we're not giving ourselves over to him, we are letting ourselves be choked by the world and its cares and its lies. And we are hindering our growth and produce. Satan wants to convince us that his plan is far better for our life than God's plan. Is that insane? God, who is holy, just, pure, righteous, loves us with a love that can't be measured, has a plan for us, but we're going to take the plan that Satan, who hates us, wants to deceive us and drag us down into hell as non-believers, or rob us from the fullness of life that God has. That doesn't sound like a very good plan. Yet, somehow, we're deceived to think it's better than following God. Crazy. We are playing into Satan's hand by not witnessing. That's part of the branching out. Instead of helping others to find their way to heaven, so we need to make a choice. You see all that? Be connected, bear the fruit, be the witness, share what God has. It can be subtly, it can be point blank, but be there. Hang on to Christ, lean on Christ, abide in Christ, and let him, as the vine, produce through us the life that he intends for us to live in him and through him. We will be living among the thorns. Will we be living among the thorns or bearing fruit? As a Christian, we choose to live in the world and not bear fruit? Will we be branching out as Jesus did or fulfilling Satan's plan B? And lastly, let's branch out from here and bear much fruit. Can you imagine if all of us as believers in Christ were committed that way and bore the fruit that God wants to intend to live through us? How vibrant and effective and powerful the church of God would be today in the world. Satan's convinced the church to step back into plan B in so many believers. And all of us need to stay committed to saying, Lord, I yield myself to you. I'm bought with a price. I'm no longer my own. And whatever plan you have for me, it's the greatest plan that I could ever pursue for my life. And it will glorify you. Amen? Yeah. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I pray, dear Holy Spirit, that hearts have listened to this message with an open heart, open ears, open eyes. I pray that with that intent of listening, that you have touched their heart or brushed over them, so to speak, revealed your presence to them or your love to them or insights to them that they need personally, whatever the case, Father, I pray that we have met with you today in your house as your people. And I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here or in the that's listening to these messages or this message online, that if they've not made a commitment to receive Jesus as their Savior, that they would recognize that Satan's plan A, but that they would come to a place where they want to receive Jesus as their Savior. They want to know and have a relationship with you, Lord, and they want to live the life that you planned for them to live in and through you, and that they might be fruitful. And I pray, Father, last but not least, that as Christians hear this that might be stuck in plan B, Satan's plan B, to have the cares of the world and anything else that can distract us from living for Jesus as God has called us to, that they would immediately acknowledge that, confess that, and repent of that and say, Lord, I've stepped out of the weeds. I am yours. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.